Gilgamesh is two-thirds god and one-third man, wiser and stronger than any other. He rules as a king over a city called Uruk, but his reign is tyrannical. He is selfish, bloodthirsty, and his lust is never quenched. The people of Uruk are sick of living in fear of their king and call on the gods, pleading with the goddess of creation to make a human that will match the strength of Gilgamesh and thus overthrow him.
The goddess dips her hands in water and pinches off a piece of clay. She lets it fall in the wilderness. Enkidu arrives in this world. With long hair and a matted coat, Enkidu roams the plains and forests surrounding Uruk. He knows nothing of civilization and coexists peacefully with wild animals, grazing on grass and drinking at waterholes with the other beasts.
Hey there, wild wind! Blow away my blues, take all the troubles that I want to lose. Far away, wild wind, hear him howling way across the plain. He's digging back his sister rain.
A trapper from the edge of the city notices that something is filling in the holes he digs to catch game and ripping up his traps. Intrigued, he follows a group of game for weeks and sees nothing. However, as the game move close to a river, the land opens up and the trapper sees Enkidu lurking with the animals there.
The trapper comes face to face with Enkidu and is frozen with fear. He runs home to his father and tells him of the wild man. The trappers decide to tell their king, Gilgamesh, of this creature, and in response, Gilgamesh orders a prostitute to go and lure him into civilization.
Coca-Cola. Ooh, baby.
After living in the wild for a period of time, the prostitute convinces Enkidu to leave the forest and enter a shepherd's camp, where he is taught how to be a civilized man. Meanwhile, Gilgamesh has two dreams about Enkidu. In one, a meteor so heavy that even Gilgamesh cannot lift it falls from the sky. In the other, he finds an axe on the street and immediately falls in love with it, carrying it everywhere.
Shepherd's camp, Enkidu learns of the tyrannous king of Uruk, Gilgamesh, and the fear and dissatisfaction that he causes among his people. Enkidu is outraged and vows he will destroy the king. He gatecrashes a wedding, and just as Gilgamesh is on his way to rape the bride in bed as she waits for her groom, Enkidu blocks the king and they engage in a terrible fight. The walls of the city shake until finally Gilgamesh throws Enkidu on the floor in victory. The two celebrate their strength, become friends, and make plans to travel to the Cedar Forest to slay the monstrous demon Humbaba.
In 3 days, they had walked what would take any human a month in 2 weeks. They crossed 7 mountains before reaching the gates of the cedar forest. Each night, they perform a dream ritual, and Gilgamesh has 5 terrifying dreams about falling mountains, bellowing bulls, wild storms, and a fierce bird that breathes fire. As the companions marvel at the giant forest ahead of them, they hear Humbaba's battle cries in the distance. Enkidu is scared.
His teeth are dragon's fangs, his countenance is like a lion, his charge is the rushing of the flood. With his look, he crushes alike the trees of the forest and the reeds in the swamp.
Well, somebody call. Oh, over my telephone.
Gilgamesh and Enkidu cut down a large cedar tree, and Humbaba descends, whirling darkness about them and roaring. The two begin to attack the demon, and in the struggle they call on the gods to help them. The gods respond to the plea, and send 13 winds to bind the demon so it can't move.
Humbaba pleads with Enkidu, the wild man, once his friend, to save him and his forest. But the fame-hungry half-humans don't listen. They cut off his head as he curses them.
Yeah.
travel back along the Euphrates River with a giant tree and the demon Humbaba's head. On entering the city, the goddess of love, Ishtar, is so enamored by Gilgamesh that she asks for his hand in marriage. When he rejects her, she orders her father to release Gugulana, the wild bull of heaven, to trample over Uruk and destroy its king. She finally gets her way, and the bull is set free. It causes chaos, death, and widespread devastation. Enkidu and Gilgamesh, still basking in their glory, decide to work together once more to save the city of Uruk. Enkidu grabs Gugulana, the wild bull of heaven, by the tail, and Gilgamesh slits the beast's throat. Ishtar, the goddess of love, rejected, defeated and enraged, vows revenge on the duo as they celebrate their victory.
Enkidu has an ominous dream that night, in which the gods demand payment for the murder of Humbaba and Gugulana.
Enkidu begins to wither away, dreaming again of a journey to the underworld. The heavens roar and earth rumbles back in answer. Between Gilgamesh and Enkidu stands an awful being, the somber-faced man-bird. He falls on the wild man, and his curls are in his long hair. He holds fast, and Enkidu is smothered. He turns his stare towards me as he led Enkidu away to the palace of the Queen of Darkness, to the house from which no one who enters ever returns, down the road from which there is no coming back, the house whose people sit in darkness. Dust is their food and clay their meat. Closed like birds, they see no light. They sit in darkness. After 12 days of dreams, Enkidu dies in the arms of his beloved Gilgamesh.
Another day.
Gilgamesh grows his hair long. He runs naked from the city of Uruk into the wilderness that bore his brother Enkidu. His grief consumes him, and he is stalked by death, believing he cannot live without Enkidu by his side. He begins the long road to visit a faraway place where the sun rises and sets, to the land of the old man Utnapishtim, the only human who has survived the great flood.
After months of journeying, he reaches the gate between the two mountains. Two scorpions guard the pass, and they warn Gilgamesh that no mortal has ever crossed the mountains behind them. Scorpions guard the pass. They warn Gilgamesh that no mortal has ever crossed the mountains behind them. Exhausted, he insists that he must find Utnapishtim to find out how he can gain immortality too. Reluctantly, they let him through, and he drags his weary body onward. He could see nothing ahead and nothing behind him. At the end of 5 leagues, the darkness was thick and there was no light. He could see nothing ahead and nothing behind him. At the end of 6 leagues, the darkness was thick and there was no light. He could see nothing ahead and nothing behind him. When he had gone 7 leagues, the darkness was thick, and there was no light. He could see nothing ahead and nothing behind him. When he had gone 8 leagues, Gilgamesh gave a great cry, for the darkness was thick, and he could start to see nothing ahead and nothing behind him. After 9 leagues, he felt the north wind on his face, but the darkness was thick, and there was no light. He could see nothing ahead and nothing behind him. After 10 leagues, the end was near. After 11 leagues, the dawn lights appeared. At the end of 12 leagues, the sun streamed out.
Siduri, the winemaker, lives by the sea that separates the king of Uruk, Gilgamesh, from the old man, Utnapishtim. She is frightened by Gilgamesh's wild appearance, but when she realizes his true identity, she takes pity on him. She directs him to the ferryman, who can take him across the water. Gilgamesh, in his sad rage, cuts the ropes that keep the ferryman's boat, which makes the ferryman angry. But after looking at the poor king, he instructs Gilgamesh to fell trees to make a new boat. Gilgamesh does as the ferryman says, and using his own body as the sail, they set off across the waters of death towards Utnapishtim.
On Gilgamesh. His face etched in anguish, and his heart in despair. Gilgamesh tells the old man the story of how he and Enkidu became friends and fought heroically together, how they slayed Mbaba, and how Ishtar had been angered, and how they had paid this with the life of Enkidu. Gilgamesh pleads with the old man to tell him the secret of immortality, to tell him how he survived the Great Flood. Utnapishtim sighs and begins slowly to tell the story.
The gods used to live in a city on the banks of the Euphrates, but it became overpopulated and unpleasant for all. The gods sent a great flood to wipe out the humans, but the god of the ocean secretly told Utnapishtim of their plans. He built a large boat to house his family and many animals. For 6 days the storm raged until his boat grounded on top of a mountain. The rest of the gods were enraged that the old man had managed to survive. They granted him immortality, but he was trapped in this faraway world that no one else could reach, where the sun rises and sets.
Под локтем на линкоре зоркой вахтой мы стоим. Мы храним родное море, границы синие свои. Солнце льется, сердце бьется, и отвагой дышит грудь. Над волнами вместе с нами птица песня держит путь. Над волнами вместе с нами птица песня держит.
Utnapishtim looks at Gilgamesh once more for a long time. He tells the king of Uruk that he will be granted immortality if he can stay awake for a week.
Песня дышит лучи, улетай по небосвод. Расскажи про наш попутчик, про мои маркеры.
Садись, надержи путь.
За домами вместе с нами птица песня держит путь.
Gilgamesh cannot stay awake, despite his best efforts. He falls asleep within the hour and does not wake for 7 days. On awaking, he is showed 7 loaves of bread that Utnapishtha's wife baked for him, the first of which is moldy, the last is still warm. Defeated, Gilgamesh begins the long journey home with the ferryman as his companion. Crossing the sea, Gilgamesh dives down to collect a plant that Utnapishtha promised would restore his youth. But the plant later gets stolen by a snake, and Gilgamesh and the ferryman return to Uruk empty-handed and old. Gilgamesh becomes sick and realizes death is approaching. He begins inscribing his story into stone for all the world to read and learn from.
Wondering when the hell I'm gonna die. Clots of blood all about my face, destroying the entire human race. See the dead, they take me away. Not really dead, just nothing to say. Clots of blood drown on my face as they take me to my ended place. I got the flag on, save me.
Quietly and enters the house of dust where Enkidu, his wild friend, awaits him.
The heroes, the wise men, like the new moon, have their waxing and waning. Men will say, who has ever ruled with might and with power like him? As in the dark month, the month of shadows, so without him there is no light. O Gilgamesh, this was the meaning of your dream. You were given the kingship, such was your destiny. Everlasting life was not your destiny. Because of this, do not be sad at heart, do not be grieved or oppressed. He has given you power to bind and to loose. Do to be the darkness and the light of mankind. He has given unexampled supremacy over the people, victory in battle from which no fugitive returns, in forays and assaults from which there is no going back. But do not abuse this power. Deal justly with your servants in the palace. Deal justly before the face of the sun.
I want to hold you every day so that I can fall in your love arms. It's not easy. Darling, you've made me lose my mind. It's not easy. I want to lose my mind every day.
I love you so much.